Lord, we thank you for your presence in this day. Just something special happening in here. And we acknowledge you. We don't have to come into your presence. All we have to do is, Lord, recognize it. That you're with us always. Now I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would make this word alive to our hearts. I pray that you would tailor it to every life, every situation. Minister to us as a church and minister to us as individuals. Anoint me. Let it be your words, your heart, your thought, your plan. And we open our hearts to you, Lord. We've come here to receive something from you. So, Lord, we pray anything that's going to distract us, anything, Lord, that we would have any kind of preconceived plans or ideas or anything at all that would distract us, Lord. We give it to you and ask you, Lord, to bring that focus that comes by your Spirit. Minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 4. Today I want to tell you about a new program that we've designed. This program is designed for equipping people to come to their maximum potential. It's called Advanced. It's very, very important to our church. This is all new material that we've put together. We've had a fresh start, that's part of it, but even fresh start, we have new material and fresh start. And I want to be sharing it with you. We've used the baseball diamond before as an illustration, but let's do it again. It's good. It shows that as we're taking steps. First thing we're going to talk about this morning is fresh start, and fresh start is for new believers, and it's for people that maybe haven't been really maturing and walking with the Lord. You can be young in the Lord and be a Christian for 20 years because you haven't grown, you haven't matured, still a baby. So this is for people, maybe you got away from the Lord, you're making a recommitment, or you're a new Christian, or you know you just need to get in there and you need to grow. And that it's a 6 weeks class, and it meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And you can jump in anywhere in the cycle, just show up any Sunday. It's taking place all the time. Next class we're going to talk about is membership. That's a 6 weeks class. That's first base. Then we're going to be talking about a maturity class, and that maturity class will have part one and part two. They'll both be 6 weeks classes. And the third base is our ministry, dealing with our ministry, what God has called us, our giftings, our ability. And then we've made full circle and come around to home plate. Fourth base is our mission as a church. And I'm encouraging every person in this church, whether you're a member or not, I'm encouraging every person in this church to go through this life-changing program. And that it is going to change your life. We are going to give a certificate. Every time you complete one of these classes, you'll have a certificate. And then for those who complete all these classes, we're going to give a special certificate of recognition to you in one of the services for all the people that have gone through and gone through the whole program. I want you to know these classes, they really are excellent. And that they are designed for everyone. Whether you're a seeker, whether you are a new Christian, whether you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for a long time, you've been walking with the Lord, whether you're new in our church, whether you've been here for some time, whether you're you know, looking for what God has for you, or you know what God has for you already, nevertheless, these classes are going to make changes in your life. They're going to be life-changing to you. They're going to be life-changing to our church. And that it's really not about building the building. The building is just a vehicle that we use for reaching people and for building people. We're the real building. How many know that? We're the building. And so this is going to be a real big part of not only what's going on now to prepare us for what God has ahead, but also when we go into the new into our new building. So I'm going to be sharing briefly today about this. I want you to know some of these classes aren't going to start for a little while, but I want to prepare you. I don't want this just to be a knee-jerk kind of thing and an emotional response, but that we really know and make a commitment that we want to grow in all that the Lord has for us today. So I'm in Ephesians, and I'm in chapter 4. Follow along with me, and we're going to read this together. Here in Ephesians, as it talks about, you know, the body of Christ, and that Jesus Christ, that he died and he descended and then he rose up in victory. And we know he took the keys of death and hell. But it says that then as he defeated the enemy, he gave gifts to the church. And those gifts may not be exactly what you think here, but I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of gifts, but these gifts are leadership gifts. And it tells us in verse 11 that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And that leadership is a gift to the church. It's not just what someone decides they're going to do. When I grew up, I want to be a pastor. I don't hear that a whole lot. It's like the last thing I want to do is to be a pastor, that we hear that. But the last thing I wanted to do was be a pastor. But it has to do with God's calling, and that he calls people into ministry, and that he gave some. They're gifts to the body, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it tells us what for in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, until we all come into the unity of faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So that these gifts are given for three purposes, it tells us. The word perfecting really means equipping or preparing or maturing us. That the Lord didn't just bring us in to bless us. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But to be a blessing. You know, the kingdom is radical. It's not about being served. It's about being a servant. It's not about being a blessing. It's about blessing. And then that's what comes back to us. And so the Lord has called us to be equipped, to be prepared, to mature for life's purposes. The next word is ministering. And that he's talking about here, you know, the gifts and callings that are in every one of our lives, that God has a purpose. God has a call on you, and that he has something for you that no one else has. It fits your giftings, your personality, experiences that you've gone through, and that God has something for you to do, and that it's for building, for edifying the body, to lifting up, building the body. The kingdom of God, wherever we may be. So these gifts are for equipping, ministering, and building. That's my job. That's what God's given any leadership gift. That's what I'm to do. You know, yes, we're to be blessed. Yes, we're to come into the fullness. But God has given those leadership gifts to bring maturity to you, to turn us from the ways of the world where we're looking on the things of others instead of just looking on the things of ourselves. And that we're thinking about what God has for us to do instead of what we want to do. And the only way we're going to find fulfillment is in what God has for us to do. It's never going to happen in what we think we should be doing. Hello? And that the Lord then uses whatever we're doing to build up his body or the kingdom of God. It's not just a local church, but to build up the kingdom of God. So the first thing we're talking about today is Fresh Start Class. And that this is about God's presence to live in. The key word here is knowing. It's about knowing the Father. As people come into a new relationship with him, to come to know him, to know who he is, to know his will, to know his ways, to know about God's plan for your life, to know his love for you, to know the acceptance that comes, to know the forgiveness that he gives to you, to know the new beginning that God has for your life. God wants you to know his principles, to know the truth of his word, that they become foundational, that it's not feelings or it's not circumstances that rule our life, but it's the Lord God as we come to know him and know the truth of his word. This class is about knowing the person of the Holy Spirit as he comes into your life to bring victory to you and to bring forth this new life that God has for you. And so a lot of people think, well, I just try real hard to be a Christian. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who surrenders and doesn't try at all and lets the Holy Spirit do it. It's trusting, not trying. And then he produces life in us. It's not a changed life. It's an ex-changed life that the Lord's living in us and through us. And those are the things we'll be teaching in this class. as we know about God's purpose, know about God's plan, as we learn and know the foundation that He has for us to stand and all the benefits that God has for you. And so this class is done on Sunday mornings at 10, and it's in an atmosphere that you can have questions answered and ask questions, and you're going to really grow and learn. So this is the first step, you know, because you're home. It starts at home plate. If you get saved, you're home. You're in the family now. You found home. Can you say amen? You're here. And you know, God wants us not just to stay at home plate. You know, Babe Ruth didn't just stand there. You know, God wants us to get on first and second and third and fourth and round the bases and grow and move forward in the Lord. Is that right? And you're never going to get the first if you don't step up to home plate. You're never going to get there. And so God wants us to advance. He wants us to advance. It's the name of the program. As we advance in the things of the Lord in our lives, into our maximum potential. So then first base is about membership class. You know, fresh start is God's presence to live in. It's about knowing Him. First base is God's people to live with. It's belonging. I want to spend some time here talking about membership class. Our new membership class is going to begin the 27th of this month. That's a Sunday, and it begins 5:30. It's 5:30 to 6:30. Again, it's 6 weeks long. And those of you that are not members, we want you to really pray about it. And not just be an attender, you know, not just be an observer. There's a difference between people who just attend and observe and people that make a commitment to become a part. Not just to watch things happen, but to make things happen. And so I want you to really pray about becoming a part and belonging. And that God has called every one of us. See, God places every believer into a local church. I hear today that, you know, it's kind of in vogue, you know, with young people and so forth and other people too out there. I guess because they've had religion. They've been burnt by religion. And they've been raised in churches where God's not present and you know, there's no life there. And so they say, well, you know, I'm for Jesus, but I'm just not into church at all. And I want to tell you that the church that I went to when I was a kid, I understand that because I wasn't for church at all either. And I'm still not really for that kind of a church. There was no life there. But that God's called every believer to be a part of a local church. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13-14, for by one spirit we were all placed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. It says that we were all placed into one body. You know, in the early church, there were both slaves and free men that were in the church. That's one of the things that the Roman government, you know, was against, and that it brought persecution against church because they thought they were subverting the social order and making slaves and noblemen equal with one another, which they were. That God is no respecter of persons. But they thought something that was going to upset, you know, their government instead of bring strength to their government and brought persecution on the church. Now, you know, maybe you think you're a slave today because of your job, but that's not the kind of slaves that were taking place then. And that God has called us into one body. And think of all the different kind of people now that are in the body of Christ. I want to tell you, this is not a social club. You know, I thank God, you know, that we don't look how each other's dressed. You know, there's people in here today in shorts and flip-flops. And then there's people that have to wear ties today. And then there's, you know, other people that, you know, are just dressed in blue jeans or whatever, like I'll be tonight. But it's not about how we dress. Thank God people don't have to dress to come in here to feel comfortable. Nobody's looking you over to see how you're dressed, putting on a show when you come. And that what's happening in this church is the way it should be in every church. It's like a United Nations in here. You know, we've got black and white and every shade in between. Can you say amen? Red, white, black, yellow, red. You know, that we're the family of God. Hallelujah. That whether they're young, whether they're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're single, whether you've been married, whether you were married, whether you are married, whatever's happening, whether you're a widow, you are the family of God. You're part of the family. And that God's placed us, all of us, into a local church. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. So every believer is to be part of a local church that God brings. Every believer into a local church. You know, that's God's design. Read the book of Acts. That his Holy Spirit fell on those early believers, that they went everywhere preaching the word. And what did they do? All those people that found Christ brought them into a local church. They were all placed. Jesus came to build a church. What do you think Paul did? What do you think Peter did? What do you think Barnabas did? As they went out and preached the word, they all came into the church. On the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people were saved, and then after that, 5,000, not counting women and children, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking bread in prayers, that they came together into the church. And it says that the members were so filled with joy in the life that came in the church and in the body that they were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were to be saved. You know, the way God wants to do it is not through, you know, billboards and promotion and signs and letters and radio advertisements. And that's great, but that's not what brought people into the church. It was every member that was so filled with joy in the life of Jesus that they were letting that light shine every place they went in the community. And people say, what's happened to your life? And we want some of what you got. That's what the Lord wants to do in you. That's what the Lord wants to do in me. He didn't bring us here just to come together, you know, and be miserable and look at our watches and hardly wait to get out. He wants us to fill us up. And when we leave, people say, man, where have you been? Man, it's all over you. God wants to use us to touch the people around us. That's the way the church grows. That God brings his life to us. And so Jesus not only died for you, but he died for the birth and the building of his church. Jesus Christ died for his bride. Not just for you alone. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Understand, that's why God came. That was his purpose. Not just to save you as an individual. That's wonderful. But God came to build his church, to bring us together in oneness. You know, you say, well, I'm against the church. You know, Jesus Christ came to build his church. That's why he died for his church. And that the very word church is the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means to congregate. It means to gather together. Those that are called out. We don't understand when we say, I'm against church. You can't, if you're against church, you're against the very purpose and plan of why Jesus Christ died. You're saying his death means nothing. It was in vain. That's why Jesus Christ came to build his church. And so the people have no idea. See, we are created for community. God put it in our heart. We're fashioned for fellowship. It's the plan of God in our lives. We're formed for God's family that the Lord has called us. See, there's no such thing as, you know, just these solitary saints or spiritual hermits, you know, that are living out there by himself, isolated from everything else. There was a move of God in about the 7th century. I mean, it wasn't a move of God. It was just a move, you know, of people that lived in the Nile River Valley and places in Egypt that there was this weird thing started called pillar saints. And there was a guy named Peter of the Stiles or Peter of the Pillars. And he lived on top of this pillar. In this little space, like 60 feet in the air. Because he thought he was holier when he was up there. And it got to be this fad. All these people started building pillars and living up on top of those pillars. I got news for you. That, you know, I mean, it'd be cheaper real estate that way, taking about a 6-foot spot in Florida. But that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to be in the world. Hallelujah. But not of the world. And so God's not called us to be isolated. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about being put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, growing together. We're even going to be caught up together when the Lord comes back. We're going to meet the Lord in the air together. Can somebody say amen to that? So it says in Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We're members of his body. When you got saved, whether you like it or not, you became a part of the body of Christ, and you became joined in with me and every other person in the body of Christ. And so we are joined. And as it talks about this truth, how we are one in Christ Jesus, here in Ephesians, listen what it says, starting in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, and is compacted by that which every joint, every one of us supplies. We're compacted together. Not isolated, not separated, but according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. God wants to be effective. There's a measure, a gift that God's given to all of us as we function in the body. And it says, and it makes increase in the whole body, but being built up by the love of God. That's what God's after. That's what he's doing in us. So I want you to know that you are the church. You're the bride. You're the body of Christ. And that's what happened when we got saved. So you say, well, I'm all for Jesus, but I just really don't like his body. Can you imagine that? Frank, I want you to know, I'm all for you, but I don't like your body. Can you imagine that? You say, Frank, I want you to know that I accept you, but I reject your wife. Well, I mean, you know, if he was a big guy, I'd have gotten decked, you know. But he's, thank God, he's sanctified and he's a born again man. But, you know, that's what we say to Jesus. You know, I love you, but I don't want to do anything to do with your plan. I don't want to have anything to do with your bride. I don't want to have anything to do with your body. And, you know, what is sin anyway? Me, my way, my life, my plan. We're rejecting the very plan, the purpose of God, why Jesus Christ came. The birthing of his church. And that's what's going to be eternal. It's going to be the bride that rules and reigns with God forever. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about those who know Jesus that are born again and have come into that relationship. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Christ loved his church and died for it. That's how special the church is. Died for the church. So believing's not enough. I'm sorry. Belonging is God's plan. You get saved, you believe, but then after you get saved, then you belong. You make a commitment. You mean the Christian life's more than just committing to Christ. It's making a commitment to God's people and to God's purpose. And we do that when we join. You don't get to heaven by being a member of a church, but you grow and mature as you become a member of the church and enter into God's purposes. It's part of the plan of filling the maximum potential of your life. You know, this morning we sang Blessed Assurance. And every time I hear that song, it really touches my heart. Because that was my pastor's favorite song, Dr. Pano. I'm not talking about the church I grew up when I was a kid the pastor didn't even know Jesus. But after I got saved, and God led me to that church, to Calvary Temple in Fort Wayne, it was there that I was loved and I was accepted. It was there that I began to find the plan that God had for my life. And I began to bloom and to grow into that potential that was there. He even saw it in me when I didn't. And that's the way it is with God. I see it. Every person in this room, the potential you have. You know why? Because God's word declares it. And that was his favorite song. And I remember him singing it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He sang that so many times. I was in that church 10 years on staff. I have no idea how many times I heard that song. Sing it in prayer meetings. He'd sing it in church. He'd sing it, you know. He's dear to my heart. You know, I love Jesus, but I want you to know, I love him as a pastor. I miss him. He died a year and a half ago. I was privileged to have part in that funeral. Because it was through the gift of that man's ministry that God gave that I began to grow into that full stature and into the purpose of God in my life, finding my purpose that brought joy, that brought fulfillment. It wasn't until I committed myself to a local church. It wasn't that I was willing to do that. I just couldn't find one for a while that was, I didn't know, I thought that at Steeple, you know, it was a church, they're all the same. Well, I found out that was not the way it was. And then God sovereignly led me to that church. What a day. Oh, happy day. You know, the believers at Macedonia understood it. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, and that first they gave themselves unto the Lord, and then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. So I'm asking you to make a commitment today. Membership class is 3 weeks now, May 27th at 5:30. I don't want it to be an emotional thing. I want you to make a commitment. I do not apologize for asking you to make a commitment. Jesus doesn't. He says, if you have ears, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. The church. So God's called us all to be a part, to be one. You can get into Fresh Start class any Sunday you want. I want you to make a commitment. You know, intentions are something, but intentions don't get you there. You have to follow up on your intention. We all have good intentions, but it takes a commitment to make it happen. Do we follow up on it? We can have an intention. I'm going to join the church someday. Well, let's do it. Let's make a commitment. Second base has to do with our maturity class. Was two parts. Part one, part two. They're both 6 weeks long. So we learned God's principles to live by. It's about growing. You know, I want you to know this is not for baby Christians. This is for every one of us. A disciple is a learner. It never stops. We're continually growing into that maturity. God gave the fivefold gifts for the equipping of the saints, for development, for maturity. And I know that God's not done with you, because if he was, you wouldn't be here today. You'd be in heaven. I can see rough edges from here on some of you. So God's still working in me. How about you? He's working. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. What's the mature man? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's our full potential. Growing up to be like him, coming into the full stature of Jesus. The full potential is the achievements that God has for us, the things that he wants us to accomplish, because he's called us and designed us to grow into that full stature of Jesus Christ. You know, anything that's alive, anything that's healthy, it develops and grows. When it stops developing and growing, it's sick or dying. You know that. And then the same thing is true of Christians. It's not about coasting. Can you imagine Jesus coasting? Man, I'm just going to coast for a while. Just cruise. Just take it easy, you know. I just feel all burnt out, man. I'm just going to lay back for a little bit. Yeah, I can hear Jesus doing that. I want you to know that growth and fulfillment's God's plan. Anything that's alive and healthy, they're advancing, moving forward. You know, that spiritual advancement, spiritual growth, is not automatic. It does not happen by itself. It's intentional. It takes a commitment. You know, that you must want to advance and grow. It's got to be a desire. You've got to decide to advance and grow. You make an effort to advance and grow. You persist in advancing and growing. See, this process, it always begins with a decision. You know, everything you do, I don't care what you do, it's about making that decision as we move forward. You know, when you go to school, whatever it is, you want to be in real estate, You're going to have to go through a class. You're going to have to advance. You're going to have to prepare yourself to get there so that you can move into that full potential. You know, you'd be a truck driver. You're going to have to take a class. You think they're going to put you in that big rig out there, man? You're not going to be behind me, I'll tell you that. Never had any kind of training? Oh, man, I can't imagine driving one of those things. Whatever it is. You know, that there's got to be some training. There's got to be a preparation. Well, Jesus calls us to respond. You know, just like the 12, he calls us to follow him, become disciples, to grow. You know, I'm really excited about this two-part maturity program. I believe that it's probably the desire of every person in this room that you want to mature, that you want to grow into that full stature of Jesus. You want to be more like him. How many of you do? See? And it's also, I would imagine that it is the desire of every person in this room to for you to advance toward that maximum potential of your life. How many of you want to continue to advance toward that maximum potential? It's not going to happen by itself. It's going to take a choice on your part to do it. Say, I choose to do that. And that I am going to make a commitment to make it happen. It's intentional. So we're going to start with 6 weeks in the new believers class or fresh start class. Not just for new believers. Anyone just wants to grow mature. Make a commitment to become a part of it. To join in. Not so you know. See, God's called sheep to be in a fold. You know your sheep, right? It's not a compliment. Sheep are not really very smart. You know, but there's a lot of animals can make it out there on their own. You know, there's wild cats. You know, even possums, you know, there's all kinds of wildlife. You know, I had a pet raccoon. That thing bit me so hard, man. It's wild. Couldn't get the wildness out of me. And I kicked that out of the house. I put it back in the woods. You know, there's wild dogs out there. There's wild coyotes. There's wild whatever, lions, you know. Look in the ocean. There's wildlife. Sharks, you know, are really not friendly. There's all this stuff, you know, that they're wild. I mean, there's even wild horses. There's wild donkeys live out there in the desert, you know. Stubborn, can't make them do anything. There's even chickens that get along on their own. They just peck around, they're fine. But who ever heard of a wild sheep? Run for your life, it's a wild sheep! God put sheep in folds. That's where we're protected. We grow and mature, we're cared for. And so by us not wanting to become a part of what God has, it's really rebellion, independence. Instead of interdependence on one another, independence on God. But God's design is for every one of us to come together in his body, to grow into what he has. Third base is about your ministry. It's God's purpose for you to live out. It's about serving the Lord. I don't want you to get a narrow view now of what you think this is. Because this is not only in the church, but this is in the secular marketplace. But wherever God's called you to minister, to serve. It's about your gifts. It's about your callings, about your past experiences, about things that have happened in your life and the plan that God has, what he wants to do. Whether you know it or not, we're all called to full-time ministry. Every person that's saved is called to a full-time ministry. It has to do with his purpose for our lives. It's God's plan for us. So whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a receptionist, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a school teacher, see, God has a plan for your life. He has a ministry for you. And so it's about you discovering who you are and to develop those gifts and the place of your calling. That's God's heart for you. That's our heart. We want you to find those opportunities to use your gifts. We want to help equip you to reach that maximum potential for your life. The only way you're going to know joy and fulfillment is to do it God's way and to find God's plan for you. How many know it didn't happen that way when you were out there in your old? Maybe you're still drifting around. You're never going to find it until you finally surrender and say, I give up, Lord. I'm willing to do it your way now. Fourth, or home plate, is kind of full circle. We're back where we start. This is your mission. This is God's plan for you to live in, no matter what you're doing. Wherever you are, you can be teaching in a college, you can be working in a kitchen, it doesn't matter. But God has a plan for you, and it's multiplying. And so we're just kind of getting right back, full circle. You know, we started home plate, we found our home in Christ, we found our home with God's family. Now it's about being commissioned, sharing our life with other people. It's not hard to share with people. You know, we found out when we were there in Colorado, I mean, it was pretty quiet. Here, you know, like I say, it was really laid back in between seasons. And all the skiers went home, and the summer people weren't there yet. And matter of fact, we were in this little town, and it was pretty small. We went to Gunnison. It was, you know, like one traffic light, two traffic lights. We stopped in a restaurant. The guy said, "Where are you going?" We're going to Crested Butte. He said, "What for?" Didn't he? I said, "What for?" And I'll tell you, it was great just being up there and having time. Every place we went, we just looked for opportunities to share the Lord, not twisting people's arms. It's just so natural. And that's what God wants us to do. And so as we come to home plate, it's our heart to teach you to share Jesus Christ without fear. We've got a whole plan called Sharing Christ Without Fear. Most of us, I asked a few weeks ago, I said, how many, you know, you really have a desire to share with Jesus? You want to tell people about it. You want to lead people to Jesus, but something just keeps us back. You know, we're just nervous about it. I read some stats lately, and the guy was saying in all the churches he'd been in, this is a man who's an evangelist, he said in all the churches he'd been in, he said that the most was less than 10% of a church that had shared with somebody within a year. Less than 10%. That was at the top of the list. That the church in America is just not doing it. And that's the commission God's given us. And our fear is dominating what we do. How many would like to be able to share without fear and to have a confidence and know what you're doing and have a plan? And, you know, you're not going, "Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. You know, he's going to think I'm an idiot." And so that's what this is all about. It's coming into that full potential. And whatever we're doing, God wants to use us. So we're going to start this program in a few weeks. And I want to give you plenty of time. I want to give you a heads up on it. Because I don't want to just share it in a week and say, "Well, this is what we're doing." This is something that's going to be with us for months. There's going to be classes at different times. We'll continue to have Fresh Start on Sunday morning. Membership will be on Sunday nights. But I believe what I want to do is share those next classes, Maturity 1 and 2, and talk about the purposes that God has for our life, discovering our ministry and our gifts, and talking about our mission. I want to do it on Wednesday nights. And as we go through that, I want to talk to the many people in this church as I can all at once. After we go through that, that's 24 weeks. After we do that, we can take some breaks. It'll be in six-week segments. Then we'll move it to Sunday mornings. There'll be other people that'll be coming to the church, or maybe you couldn't come on Wednesday night. But this is going to be ongoing. I want to encourage the whole church to do this. You know, a few minutes ago, you said, "Yes, I want to progress. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to come into my full potential." It's not going to happen just sitting there between your elbows without you making a commitment and doing something. It's my job in leadership to do it. I'm going to say it very plain. I want to do what God's called me to do. I don't care what other churches are doing. And there can be people out there tickling on ears and just bless me. And that's not what God's called us to do. That's fine. Blessing's great. I like it. How come you're not coming to church anymore? I just didn't meet my needs. Can you imagine? Father says, "Jesus, how come you're not in Jerusalem? That's where you're supposed to be." They just weren't meeting my needs. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Oh, Jerusalem's just not blessing me. It's about giving, serving, walking in the will of God. That's what brings fulfillment. So God wants to challenge us. And I can stand before the Lord and say, Father, I did what you called me to do. Equip the saints. Bring them maturity. Help them find their ministry, their calling, that together we built the kingdom of God. In the church, outside of the church. If you don't want to do it, that's between you and God. You're going to stand before him alone, just like I'm going to stand before him alone. How many of you want to be like Jesus? How many of you want to mature? How many of you want to grow? How many of you want to come into that full potential that God has for your life? This is going to be a program that's going to help you to find that place. I'm excited about it. I mean, I really am excited about it. I'm hyped about it. Advance. Charge. Move forward. Take ground. We're advancing. Advancing the kingdom. Advancing his purposes. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Father, I thank you today for your presence and, Lord, what you're doing. I thank you for men and women in this room that love you. Thank you for the spirit, Lord, we felt this morning as we worshiped. And God, you know what? You just encouraged my heart so much, Father. Just even the things that happened while I was gone. Just the faithfulness of people and the spirit and things that happened. We thank you. And Lord, we do want to grow. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to fulfill your will. We want to come into that potential. We want to know your plan. And I pray, Lord, all over this church, you're going to bring us into that full stature, individually and as a church, as we move into your purposes. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. The first step, you got to meet him. Everything changed when I met Jesus. I knew about him, but it all changed when I met him for myself. You don't have to go through a class for that to happen. That can happen right now, today. It can happen right where you sit, right between your elbows. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, he promised. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. We'll fellowship together. He promises we'll know him, we'll walk with him. He'll not only unfold the plan he has for your life now, but that moment you ask him, he's going to come into your life. It says the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead as he comes in, you will raise you up. He gives us eternal life. I have eternal life. You say, oh, no one can know that. Well, I do. It says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It says whoever has Christ has life. And these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Except a man be born again, he cannot. There's no other way to enter into the kingdom of God. Only way you're going to get in is to be born again. No one gets in by joining a church. No one gets in by being good. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by our good works. So no one can boast, the Bible says. You don't get in by giving money or the clothes you wear or the family you're a part of. It's only one way. To put your trust in Jesus, who paid the price for your salvation and died that you might live. And if we'll trust in what Jesus did and know that gift belongs to anyone that will call on him. He'll send his spirit in your heart. He makes it so simple. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, there's been thousands and thousands of people that have come to know Jesus, found out that he's real, he's alive, he's really resurrected, that have the assurance of eternal life. If I had right now, people raise their hands in this room. Hands would go up all over this room and say, there was a time where I didn't know him, but he came into my life. There's people in this room that went to church, but they didn't know Jesus. There's people in this room that they were, man, talk about wild. They were wild animals. All kinds of sin, darkness, And they met Jesus and he forgave them their sins, washed them clean. God sees them as if they've never sinned at all. That's what it says, justified, just as if we've never sinned. God wants to give you new life, new beginning. If that's your heart today, I want you to lift your hand. You say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? I know I need him. I want to know a new beginning. I want to know his forgiveness. If the Lord's willing to come into my life, forgive me, I want him. I want you to know he's more than willing. What more could he do than to die for you to show you how much he loves you? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might. The moment you believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth. And I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand right now, wherever you are. And you say, pray for me. And you look at me when you raise your hand. Would you? Thank you, I see your hand. Who else? Thank you, I see your hand. Yes, thank you, I see your hand. And look at me when you raise your hand. Who else? It's hard for me to see back there. Where? Thank you, sir, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Yes, I see your hand. Who else this morning? It's hard for me, but just lift your hand up high and you say, pray for me. Yes, I saw your hand. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much. Did I miss anyone? I want you to know God's not looking at hands right now. He's looking at hearts. And he knows your heart. He's always known you. He loves you. Before the foundation of the world, is there someone in the overflow? It's hard for me to see. Back there. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I see your hand.